This episode is brought to you by Groove Washer, the best record cleaners and protective sleeves for your vinyl collection. Ask for the Groove Washer from your local shop or go to groovewasher.com. Discount code VinylGuide10. And now, on with the show.
Hey everyone, it's Nate. Welcome to episode 428 of The Vinyl Guide, the podcast for record collectors and music nerds. And I just got back home to Sydney, Australia after spending several weeks in Southern California and Nevada, cruising around, hitting up record shops, record shows, seeing some live music, meeting friends of the show, including some of you listeners who are out there right now. I do want to thank everyone who came out and made the effort to spend at least a few moments with your buddy Nate here. That is certainly appreciated. I got some fantastic records, had some amazing adventures, a lot of which you can see on our Instagram page at Vinyl Guide. And when I was planning the trip, I knew I was going to Las Vegas, and there was one thing I was absolutely clear of. I desperately wanted to visit the Punk Rock Museum. Now, as many of you know, the Punk Rock Museum opened in Las Vegas earlier this year. And of course, as you'd expect, they have a ton of punk rock artifacts and just really interesting stuff that I was very keen to see in person. And one of the things that's very interesting about the Punk Rock Museum is they have an arrangement where punk legends regularly give guided tours of the museum. So you may show up one day and your tour guide is Greg Hetson of Circle Jerks or Des Cadena of Black Flag and Misfits. It's a rotating roster of punk rock royalty that will walk you through the museum, tell stories, and show you different things in the museum, point different things out, and it sounds absolutely amazing. But because of my travel schedule, I only had one specific day I could go to the museum, and according to the website, that day there were to be no guided tours. So I reached out to the Punk Rock Museum and inquired whether there would be any guided tours on that day I was going to be there. I was hoping that maybe they haven't announced it yet, or there was something that maybe they hadn't updated. Anyway, lo and behold, there was no guided tours planned for that day, but I was offered a one-on-one tour with none other than Fat Mike himself. And I swear to God, I didn't pull any name drop bullshit about the podcast to make that happen, but they did offer and I happily accepted. So on that day, Mike met me at the Punk Rock Museum and he and I wandered through the different displays and he shared a lot of insight on the museum, the artifacts. We discussed many of the vinyl records, which are part of the displays, and more. So what you'll hear today, this podcast, is simply Mike and I walking through the Punk Rock Museum in real time. And to be completely candid, there's some background noise because I had the portable recorder. That's just part of the charm, right? I think each of you, especially punk rock fans, will really enjoy this conversation. Some fun insight to the Punk Rock Museum, which I cannot recommend highly enough. Now, people, as a bonus, I've created a video of the experience. I've married up Mike's narration of the different artifacts and things that are within the museum, his narration to pictures I took or found of the items discussed. So you can actually see the items Mike and I are chatting about in this interview. That video is initially available only to patrons of the podcast, patreon.com/vinylguide. Head up there now, help support the show. You get episodes in high resolution audio. They're commercial free. And we regularly give extras out like extended episodes or, in this case, a god dang video to enjoy. So that's patreon.com/vinylguide. Head up there now, help support the show and enjoy all the extras. Oh, and by the way, I cannot say enough about how awesome the Punk Rock Museum is. If you're anywhere near Las Vegas, you gotta stop by there. Leave several hours available to enjoy the museum, as you may end up doing what I did and just going through it 3 and 4 and 5 times and just being in awe of the display. There's so much there. It's hard to see in one sweep. You need several hours to really digest it all. Fat Mike and team did such a phenomenal job, and the displays are constantly evolving, so even if you've been to the Punk Rock Museum before, there's probably stuff in there right now that you haven't seen. Plus, they're absolutely lovely people there at the Punk Rock Museum. We want to support those type of folks. So again, head over to the Punk Rock Museum in Las Vegas if you get any chance to be able to be there. All right, that's it. Let's join up with Fat Mike for our personal tour of the vinyl records in the Punk Rock Museum in Las Vegas.
Testing one. All right, hang on. There we go. You feeling all right? You got your wind back?
I got wind back.
Excellent.
I'm going to be breaking some as we go.
All right. I'm downwind from you, so that's unfortunate. All right, here at the Punk Rock Museum with Mr. Fat Mike.
Hello. He's
giving us a bit of a walkthrough here.
This is the first room.
Mm-hmm.
I designed four rooms in this museum, and this one I designed.
Okay.
I wanted this to be very welcoming. So what we have here, we have Darby Crouch, Gay, Alice Bag, Latina. This is Danny from Wasted Youth. He's just white trash, but he's bleeding from his head and drinking red wine at the same time.
Okay.
Polystyrene. Mm-hmm. She's black somehow. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's in the black realm. She's not, I don't know what you call it.
She's not the male Caucasian kind of.
She's not African American, that's for sure. Because she's from England.
Okay.
We got straight edge.
Yep.
We got Lord Jane Grace. We got transgender. We got great big hair, GBH. We got Tony Sly. This is just the white American Californian. Mm-hmm. And blank, so the kids will go, oh, they know one of these bands.
So this first room you designed to kind of be the...
Welcoming.
The welcoming, okay. The first thing you see is Alice.
That's exactly how I wanted it.
Yeah.
I wanted Alice Bag to be the first person you saw.
And that is such a compelling picture, too.
Yeah. Well, she was so important to the LA scene, and she brought the Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Plugs and the Zeros.
So
crime.
So we walk through, and we kind of enter into... kind of New York Dolls, early New York, early 70s New York.
Yeah, Joan Jett. And it's interesting because the Runaways and the Ramones, they came out the same year, their records.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Ramones were much better. There is a Joe Strummer and a Harley from the Cro-Mags.
Right.
But he was only 13.
How did he get in on the scene at 13?
His parents were not good parents.
Okay.
They took him to shows. You know.
Yeah. But he looks like he's having a great time.
Oh, I mean, he met Joe Strummer when he was 13.
Now, I'm interested in a lot of, like, these Ramones posters. This one appears from which country?
It comes from the country of South America.
South America, okay. Somewhere in South America. And it's just in tatters around the edges. Obviously, you can see the pictures and everything, but... We tattered it. You tattered it? Okay.
No, we did not tatter it.
This is how these things survive, that is... incredible. Like, where would you find something like that?
South America.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you find it. And then someone kept it. We got most of this stuff from collectors.
Right.
Like, look at the Ramones base we have. Who do you think that belonged to?
CJ, yeah?
CJ, I know, but it would have been nice to get Dee Dee's. Over here, we have Johnny Thunder's demo tapes, his cassette tapes.
Oh, those are Johnny Thunder's cassettes, actual cassettes.
Yeah. And we have his red leather jacket and...
What's on those cassettes? That's just music he listened to then?
No, right? I think it's his demo tapes.
Oh, all his
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Want to listen to him?
Sure.
Yeah, well, tough shit. And that's his 59 Les Paul.
And these been in storage. They've been held by family. Like, what are some of the stories?
It's mostly collectors.
Mostly collectors. Well,
all this stuff came from Brian Ray Turco.
Mm-hmm.
Kill Your Idols. And Misfit stuff. There you see the Horror Business 7-inch.
Mm-hmm.
And these are... We haven't put a lot of 7-inches in here yet. It's just a phase we haven't done. We're working on it.
Because
we want to show all the important labels and like the 10 best records they did.
Okay.
But, you know, I have a key to these cases. So I come in here and put my stuff in. And that's my Bullet 7-inch.
Yeah.
That I paid $2.98 for
in
the Valley at some record store. And my Halloween 7-inch.
That's amazing. What is there an artifact in here that you're just absolutely surprised still exists?
Yeah, around the corner.
Okay.
There's my Sex Pistols bootleg.
Okay. I was wondering what that was. So that's a boot.
That's a boot of when they were on A&M. That's their demo album.
Okay.
It's really good, and it's got Satellite on it. It's got every song from Nevermind the Bullocks, but also Satellite.
Got it.
Sid Vicious's belt. Joe Strummer's last bag of weed.
Oh, there's the weed. Okay.
It's in tinfoil.
Okay, how does that weed make it here to the punk rock museum?
Well, Spider Stacy had it, mm-hmm. so you know it's legit. Spider from the Pogues, and he gave it to Audra from the Gimme Gimmes, and she kept it for years, but she gave it to us.
So when Strummer died, that was just in his jacket or something?
I don't know exactly.
Okay.
I think he had, Audra was holding it for him.
Like okay.
He didn't want to fly with it.
Okay.
So it was his last U.S. weed, I believe. These are my favorite photos in here. That's Pat Smear yawning and Darby Crash yawning. And this one photo has Nikki Beat, Darby Crash, Pat Smear, Joan Jett, Sandy West, and Roddy Bingham-Hymer. Just wrestling backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is...
Is that Sandy? That's Lita.
Oh, Lita. Lita Ford, sorry. And this is Belinda Carlisle from the Go-Go's getting whipped by Helen Keller. Yeah. And that's Al's bag and Pleasant Gaiman.
Yep. I love that picture. There's so much life in that.
Well,
that
is... these are all from Jenny Lenz. And Jenny Lenz was the only photographer really hanging out in the scene in 77. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite artifact, really. And this is cool that it's how we got these. I got it from Chris Ashford from What Records.
Okay.
And it's George Ruthenberg, a royalty check. It's Pat Smear for $8.34, a canceled check. And Charlotte Caffey from the Go-Go's when she was in the Eyes for $15.63.
Wow. And Teresa Ryan.
Teresa Ryan, that's Lorna Doone.
Lorna Doone, yeah. Yeah.
And this is the first punk 7-inch pressed in L.A. That's the Germs forming 7-inch. And this is the plate.
Mm.
That's the metal plate. That's the label, the hand-done label, and the handwritten lyrics.
And then you got the Lexicon Devil metalwork, too, there.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, were these done... these must have been done
in Darby Crash's phone book.
Oh, hang on. Who's in Darby Crash's phone book?
Read the top name.
Poser?
Poser, yeah.
Wow.
And all the digits, there's only 7-digit numbers because we only had 7 digits.
That's right. So. That's right. Has anyone tried calling Poser lately?
No.
Okay. So a lot of these records, it looks like just from the envelopes, they were made at Rainbow Records in Southern California?
Yeah, I used to use Rainbow all the time.
Yeah.
And Bill Smith.
So. Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. This is SST. These are solid-state transistors. And that's how Greg Ginn started his company, with transistors. Right. So we got a bunch of those. And we have different artwork for the Black Flag Louie 7-inch.
Right.
And those are photos of the first Black Flag show when they were Panic.
That was Pollywog Park?
Yeah.
Wow. This poster, I'm surprised that this poster, because this is the very
first original.
Poster.
Yeah. You can tell by the outside.
Yeah. And the fact that they were doing marketing at that early kind of period.
Yeah. Well, Greg Grin, he knew how to market. Not Greg Grin. Greg. No, that guy does not grin. That is Greg Ginn. Yeah, he knew how to market.
Mm-hmm. All these original Germs flyers, too. I mean, does it surprise you how difficult or how valuable some of these are?
I think it's cool. I think it's so cool that people collect these.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I collected records from, like, 82 to 85.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's why I have all these. Like, that's my Social Distortion.
Social Distortions, yeah.
That's my 1945 when there's just a Xerox cover.
Right.
And the mainliner.
I imagine you probably got quite a few of these directly from the bands, yeah?
No. All from stores.
Okay.
So you go to Rhino Records like 3 times a week. And Licorice Pizza.
Okay.
This footage is the coolest thing we have in the museum. This took me a year to get.
Yeah.
And what it is, because I had Lou Adler, the producer of Rocky Horror and Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke. He was on my podcast. And I said, why don't you show the Germs footage? Because I know they played the Battle of the Bands at the Roxy. And he said, and you can see that they're getting thrown off stage right here.
Right.
They were so bad, he's like, no one would believe they were in a Battle of the Bands. You know, so look at Pat Smear's hair.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, you know, the crowd just turned on him after one song. But this is the second Germ show ever.
Right.
And it's only one song. And it's in 16mm film. Look how good it looks.
Yeah. Because so Cheech Chong Up in Smoke, people don't know what we're talking about. Up in Smoke, they had the Battle of a Band scene, and that was filmed at the Roxy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they won because they got everyone stoned.
Right, yeah.
But the Dills played, and you see the Dills play in the movie, right. But no Germs.
That's amazing this exists.
Yeah, and it took me a year. He finally...
There's Bingenheimer right there.
Yeah. Yeah, he introduces them.
Okay.
And Lou told me, he said, you're not going to sell this or anything, and it stays in the museum. I'm like, it will never leave the museum.
Right.
So pretty cool.
How long is the clip? Right. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, it's only one song.
Okay. Who was on drums?
Some girl. Don't know who she was.
Okay. Pre-Don Bowles.
Yeah, pre-Don Bowles.
That Danger House sign.
Yeah, see, the Danger House sign, that is going to go up here.
Okay.
And we're putting the 10 Danger House records, and then we're doing a bump sign.
Oh.
And we have logos from all the old record labels.
Right.
Because labels tell the story.
Yeah.
But we just haven't... We had to open.
Yeah.
And then getting all these records is not easy.
Yeah. How much of the stuff is out and how much is in storage kind of waiting for...
It's quite a bit in storage. Mm-hmm. I mean, the museum doesn't look empty. I mean, we're full.
No, I know.
But there's still space.
Right.
And this is where I grew up. This is L.A. Like this, that's...
Yeah.
We're fixing that. You'll see what we do there.
Okay. Did you ever see Germs live?
No, my first show, I was 14 in 81.
Right. Okay.
And here we have, we have cassettes and VHSs. And check out over here. This is cool. First of all, these are all punk rock, Ajax, Ramones, and Clash.
Funhouse, that's great.
Champ 69, Patti Smith.
Where'd you get those from?
I don't know.
Yeah?
Different people. This is Brian Ray Turcos, too. It's the original Devo mold. That made the energy domes.
Oh, amazing.
How cool is that?
That is great. Oh, phenomenal.
Here we have, this is the only place we have drums, except for the Pennywise drum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Lucky Lear's drums. Those are the drums from Group Sex. That's that crazy dead sound, because these drums are weird shaped, and they only have one head.
I'm surprised they're still in reasonably good shape. Look at that.
Well, he's a lawyer. He takes care of his shit.
Okay. All right. But I mean, he was playing them at shows back in the early 80s, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have D.H. Pellegrino's drums and Damn drums and Les and Jake drums. Scream, Social D. Bill
Fear
Stevenson.
Saxophone.
Fear Saxophone. Yeah. And the Minutemen.
D. Boone's amp.
D. Boone's amp. That's a great amp, too.
Where did you get that? Like, you know.
That one we stole.
You stole?
Yeah, we stole from Mike Watt.
Okay. I'm sure he's fine. Yeah, come on.
Look at that. Steve Soto's bass.
Oh.
Yeah. Best guy in punk rock.
Oh, that's fantastic. Manic Hispanic. Gabby, rest in peace.
Yeah.
I tell you, I walked through this three times already.
Oh, yeah.
It's just every little bit is just, it's kind of emotional.
It is very emotional.
Yeah.
And when I get new things, like, you know, showing Lucinda Strummer and the entire Strummer family his exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
They were just blown away. I mean, they flew from England to see it. And after that, she gave us Joe's 59 Cadillac and his whole studio we're getting. And we're building a studio out of Joe Strummer's studio.
Oh, that's amazing.
Strummer Studios. And I designed this room, too. This is supposed to look how my grandma's basement looked. Like my skateboard from 87. And
yeah, old VHS machines.
We're going to be showing... VHS stuff here.
Yeah.
Oh. Just putting VHSs on loop.
Now, those are original flyers up top.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one can reach them, though.
No.
They're above reach. And so then here's a telephone pole I bought for $100. And we put flyers here so people are allowed to take these.
So bands can actually come in and put their own flyers
here.
Well,
yeah. Look at this flyer. Saturday, December 2nd at the Punk Rock Museum.
Oh, there we go.
It's our first real show here.
Oh, where's the stage at?
We'll just do it outside.
All right.
So
Las Vegas seems like a really good place for this.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a great scene. It's a really vibrant punk scene.
But Las Vegas has also kind of had a little bit of that punk rock attitude, right?
Well, yeah. We used to play desert shows that would end at 6 a.m.
Right.
It's
a bit lawless.
There's no rules here. So this is Bay Area. Heavy on the Faction, but that's a record I dropped off, Code of Honor. And on the other side is Sick Pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
and RKL. And that's Tim Armstrong's guitar. It's lint from Operation Ivy's only guitar.
Oh, when he shaved off that part of it. Oh, incredible.
And the Lookout Records sign. Isn't that awesome?
That is great. Again, just the fact that these things still exist somewhere. And I'm glad they made it here, but they've been in a box for 40 years.
Yeah, that's why everyone, once someone comes here, they want to give us all their stuff because, like, this is legit. I feel safe with my stuff here.
Was there a time when it wasn't?
Yeah. Hey. Well, when we first opened, before we opened, we were calling bands like crazy. And, sure, we'll send you something, but they just didn't.
Right.
But now more and more stuff is coming. We kind of don't have room for everything.
Good problem to have, I guess.
Okay, these are records I put into. That's my Agnostic Front, United Blood. That you see the price tag on it for $3.95.
Yeah.
From Vinyl Fetish and Urban Waste. Waste, that's mine. Yeah. Now, this record, this is a good story.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Reagan Youth 8-song EP, not the 11-song that was remastered.
Okay.
And our second show was with Reagan Youth at the Café de Grand.
Mm.
They stayed at my house, and the next day I took them in my van. They were on the Rock Against Reagan tour, so they were on a school bus.
Mm-hmm.
So they had no way to get around. And they go, we have to master our record tomorrow at Capitol Records. So I drove them there, and they asked if it could be mastered in mono. And as far as I know, it's the only punk record mastered in mono. And the guy's like, mono? What the fuck? You go, well, we have some friends, and their Ghetto Blasters only have one speaker, and we want it to sound good in both speakers. So the original pressing of that Reagan Youth record is fucking phenomenal. It sounds so much different than the 11 song.
Right. Oh.
The guitars are so fucking loud. It's rad, because it's in mono. And my Heart Attack record I gave, and Crowd, Justin Society.
So all these records, pretty much most of the records I see are from your collection.
All these records are mine.
All right.
Well, not. I guess they're still mine. I loaned them.
Yeah.
You probably missed this postcard.
Which postcard?
The. Oh, okay.
Why don't you read it? It's to the Necros.
To the Necros.
Why don't you read it? I'll read it. I don't need glasses. Okay, you read it.
All right. Necros. Send me info on the band and when they're going to play in D.C. Sticker 2, please. David Grohl.
Yeah.
And this is from February 2nd, 1984.
Yeah. He was 15, I believe.
He sent a similar letter to Ian, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Did he ever get a sticker? Do you know?
I did not ask. Hmm. But this is, you know, Inner Ear Studios mailbox.
Oh, okay.
And
part
of their gear.
Oh, man.
This is their case they sent us. And this is Teen Idols, Ian McKay's first band.
Oh, man.
They just gave us a section of their wall in the basement because they just posted stuff in the basement.
Okay.
Punk stuff. And this is the amp. That's the Coleman that the amp used to sit on.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is all their homemade clothes.
I didn't realize it was purple. I've seen that, but only in black and white.
Right. Punk. Yeah. Purple's punk. Well, it's a government issue. Government issue not talked about as much as other bands.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't. They kind of went off the Discord tree.
Are there any bands that you would like to see more represented here?
So many bands. We don't have a good Chicago section. We don't have a good Minneapolis. We don't have a good Boston. I mean, I put in Boston, not LA.
Right.
And Adrenaline OD. But it's all we can do is what we get. Mm-hmm. Like, we have tons of stuff from Negative Approach and handwritten lyrics from Necros.
That's a Necros artwork for Conquest?
Original flyers.
Is that the original?
Yeah.
From
Negative Approach? From Negative Approach.
Wow.
And that's the shirt and the spikes, original Poison Idea spikes from Kings of Punk.
Oh, Jerry A's Codpiece, is that it?
Yeah. The Obituaries, good band from Portland.
Mm-hmm.
White Cross and Gangrene 7-inch.
Tesco V's Crowd Control Dildo.
That's the original Necros.
Oh,
7-inch.
There's like 100 of those made or something, aren't they?
I don't know, but that was on Touch and Go.
We'll be back after these messages.
Well, hey there, record collectors. There's a new service available that specializes in record cleaning, restoring, sticker removal, and professional grading.
VMGVinyl.com.
VMG Vinyl can help you make the most of your collectible records. From professional cleaning of records and sleeves,
removing old price tags and store stickers,
dry cleaning and rejuvenation of old shrink wrap to make it look like new, even providing you a professional play-tested third-party grade with either removable grading or encasing in plastic, you have a wide range of choices at VMGVinyl.com.
Buying a highly collectible record and you want it checked out by an expert?
VMG Vinyl can do that too. Head over there now and see what VMGVinyl.com can do for you and your collection. That's VMGVinyl.com, the one-stop shop for professional third-party grading, cleaning, and record restoration. That's VMGVinyl.com.
Oh, and hey, record nerds, don't forget to clean your records with the very best and safest record cleaner, the Groove Washer. Make your records look and sound their very best and store them with confidence using the new Groove Washer Groove Guard record sleeves. You gotta try this out. It makes a huge difference to the quality of your vinyl experience. Ask for the Groove Washer by name at your local record store and accept no substitutes. Or head over to groovewasher.com and use discount code VINYLGUIDE. 10.
All hail the Groove Washer.
That's groovewasher.com, discount code VINYLGUIDE10.
Now we return to the program, already in progress.
No limits. So this is the room of when punk broke.
Okay.
I specifically picked this photo of Offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Because Offspring sold 11 million copies on an independent label. It's the biggest selling indie record, rock record of all time.
Mm.
And...
you know, still to this
Green
day.
Day sold more, but that was on Warner Brothers. They did this on Epitaph, which is, I think, a real feat.
Wow.
And so this room will be full of gold records.
Right.
I want every band, you know, all these bands, you know, The Used and Bowling for Soup, Taking Back Sunday, whatever it is.
Right.
I think it's every band deserves to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you call it, it's so punk rock and... they all started for the same reasons. So we have, you know, Dexter's first tiny PV amp and Brett Gerwitz's guitar. And this is Billy Joe's first amp he used at Gilman Street.
That's a bass amp.
Yeah. But he put a distortion box and it sounds like a guitar amp.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Use what you got.
And his guitar. And that's Kurt Cobain's jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And the couch, which used to be mine. Kurt not allowed in.
Yeah, that's I see the Melvin's there as well.
Yeah, he was producing Melvin's, but he was passed out. He was not passed out.
How'd you get this couch?
I bought Razor's Edge Studios. I owned that studio for 10 years.
Okay.
And I was going to throw this couch out, and Sasha from the Caddies said, "Don't, dude, have you seen this photo? Don't sell this couch." I'm like, oh. Little did I know I'd own a museum one day. This is a Billboard Top 200. And there's one band that entered this with a bullet.
Yeah?
Yeah, look lower. Look lower. Hang on. Keep looking lower. Do. Number 200, No Effects, The Decline.
Hey. All
entered at number 200. We're there for 1 week. I mean, you can't plan that kind of marketing. Number 200.
You're just a little bit more, you would have beat Garth Brooks.
I know. 100 more records.
Oh.
This is cool. This is, I called Pat Smear and asked him for some gold records.
Yeah.
So he gave me some Nirvana gold records.
Okay.
And he said, you know, Mike, I have a Grammy too. And he said, but I'm only allowed to keep it in my home or office because there's rules from the Grammys and you can't put it in public display.
Right.
So I said, well, can we have it anywhere, Pat? He goes, sure. So we have the Grammy and the rules.
I like this one too here.
That's a half gold, no
half
effects
gold?
Record
yeah.
to my mom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Boy, she did.
Oh, it's a lovely gesture.
Hey.
All right.
So this is a wall that I'm not done with, but as you can see, it's Sub Pop, Victory, Vagrant, right. Hellcat. There's there are logos of record labels.
Mm-hmm.
And within a month, we're going to have like the 10 most important records under each one of these.
Right. Okay.
Because, like, you know, records tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great timeline. And this is kind of, and this is when, you know, when Fat Records and Epitaph Records became relevant. This is awesome because it screened Operation Ivy playing their last show at Gilman with Billy right. Joe watching.
That's what I thought I recognized that.
And look who's opening the show, Green Day.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of vinyl stuff here that's cool. This is a record contract, an actual record contract that I wrote to the Pairs. And one of the things says, you will record one record for Fat unless Fat asks for more. If Fat asks for more, you will politely give them more if you want to.
Legally binding.
Yeah. And all the things in there are...
So this is kind of the sort of deals Fat even makes to this day, yeah?
Yeah, well, like, we only do one record deals.
Right.
I just think that's the way to go. Mm-hmm. We have done a few that are two records, but never more than two.
Right. I like this form letter here of...
The rejection letter.
How many demos would you get like in a given week? Back.
Well, we didn't get that many because on all our records we put Mike Park's address from Asian Man, so so he would get most of them. This is the first NoFX interview from 1986.
Okay. Oh, they sent the
they sent questions. It was a fanzine, and I wrote back the answers.
Okay.
Who are you? How long have you been together? We are Mike, me, 19. Lead vocals, Eric, him, drums. Anyhow, we had a band for 3 years.
Any last words? Warning, warning, beware of Detroit.
Oh, yeah, we had some bad times in Detroit. So this is a cool 7-inch.
Right.
This is the first record I put out, NoFX record. I made 500 copies,
mm-hmm.
and one side is says what songs are on it.
Right.
It's called The PMRC Can Suck on This. Mm-hmm. And one side I left white, and when we were on tour, we all... drew pictures on all and numbered all of them. So there's only 500, and like this is number 371 and number 465.
Oh, so every single one of them is a little bit different.
Everyone is hand drawn. Like this one has an ocean liner on it, mm-hmm. and that one shows a skinhead smoking crack.
Very cool. So where did these were these part of your collection or like I would imagine these fans are mine. That had. You know, or some people.
No, there's a lot of NoFX stuff because I just had it.
Right. Okay. But this guy who did the interview, like he would have kept this and shared it some later date.
Yeah, he must have sent it back to us.
Yeah.
And,
all right, got your dolls here from the movie.
Yeah. And, that's the Home Street Home. I'll show you that upstairs. It's cooler. But the Home Street Home 50 record set
mm-hmm.
comes in a dumpster.
50 45s.
Yeah.
Okay. How many of those are made?
There's 1,000.
1,000 of them, okay.
And here are the
plates.
The plates, the stampers for New Bomb Turks, 88 Fingers Louie, Snuff, Rancid, Bracket.
Bracket. I love Bracket.
And that 7-inch is called Pretty and Punk,
mm-hmm.
the E Dagger. Those are two songs I wrote and I recorded. It was for my ex-wife's, for Aaron's 35th birthday.
Mm.
I only made 35 of these. And Karina from Dancehall Crashers sings on one song and I sing on the other.
Only 35 copies made.
Yeah, no one's ever heard it either.
Okay. What did you do with the 34 other copies?
We gave it to guests at our birthday party.
Ah, okay.
Isn't that nice?
That's beautiful. And we got the early NoFX poster here, promo.
Yeah. And that is the original record for single album. Which is extra thick.
That's right.
And there's 42 of those made. If you see, they're super thick. They're 600 gram vinyl.
What gave you the inspiration to do something like that?
Just to
be obnoxious?
Just to be obnoxious. That is Bad Religion. What record is it?
Oh, it Infected.
Stranger than Fiction.
Yeah.
That's the 2-inch tape. Not many people use 2-inch anymore.
Yeah.
The 2-inch tape. Those are handwritten lyrics from Punk and Drublic.
Now, have you always been a bit of a pack rat, keeping things around?
No, but I've always had a pretty big office, so I just, when I get something, I just throw it mm-hmm. in a closet.
Was it organized in any particular way?
I have handwritten lyrics for Punk and Drublic, but that's the only record I have that for.
Right.
Because I used to write in a notebook.
Okay, so everything for
from then on,
White Trash, Two Heaps and a Bean, that's lost to time.
Yeah, that's the only record I'd have that for.
Oh, all right. Pennywise bass?
Yes, yeah. Fletch used to break a lot of stuff.
This is magnificent.
The original artwork to Against the Grain.
Who is the artist on
this? Joy Coy.
Okay.
She did an album for NoFX, too.
Was this hanging in Epitaph?
Yeah.
Office? Okay.
Yeah, Brett gave it to him. Brett was just here the other day.
Okay.
With his family. He's one of the investors.
So what gave you the inspiration to do a punk rock museum? Like, what was the moment you said, I'm going to do this?
I was going to open up a store in Vegas, a punk store, and my friend Lisa Brownlee said she was going to run it.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I have a bunch of cool artifacts from Warped Tour. We should put those in, too. And then I was looking at spaces. I go, wait a second. I have tons of artifacts. And mm-hmm. I went from a 1,200-square-foot place to 4,500 to 7,500, just looking at places.
Right.
And then I got this place. It's 12,000.
Wow.
And I just bought the building.
Right.
And that was about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I couldn't believe it. No one ever thought of it, really. It's just, and I got Fletcher from Pennywise on board right away. And when I called Brian Ray Turco, he's one of the biggest collectors.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him what I was doing. And he's like, shit, I've been waiting for this call. And I was always going to say no. But because it's you,
yeah,
I think I'll do it. Because you're going to do it right. You're going to do it absurd, like mm-hmm. absurd. And Fletcher, he met Fletcher and me. He's like, oh, yeah, you guys have to do this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this place is super nice. But it's still, there's no rules.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's very innovative. I mean, you got the jam room. People can come in and play.
Play my bass, play.
You got a tattoo parlor upstairs, yeah. which was.
No, you can touch everything here.
Yeah.
And here, this is Pennywise's jam room that, I mean, that's a photo of, that was their jam room in a garage for 20 years.
Right.
And every single piece they brought here.
Oh, so that's the actual carpet.
That's the actual carpet on the walls, all their instruments. That's Jason Thirsk's bass. He wrote Bro Him On.
Right.
And it smells in here because you're supposed to pour a little beer in here.
Mm-hmm.
And Fletcher peed in here originally. But and when a band comes in, this is where they jam. Like,
right.
You know, I got to play Beverly Hills Century City with Lucky Lear mm-hmm. here and sing with Sum 41. But, I mean, this, you can't get more authentic because it was their room.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got this garage door, which is very 70s Californian garage.
Any band that comes through, they're allowed to play three songs in that.
Yeah? Who are some of the bands that have played so far? Sorry.
Sum 41, Circle Jerks, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so many. We had Linda Lindis here the other day, but they didn't play.
Oh, okay.
This is Canada.
You.
These are my DOA records.
Yeah.
Triumph of the Ignoroids and hardcore. DOA coined hardcore. They coined the term.
Oh, okay.
Hardcore 81.
So that was the first usage of the term in terms of, okay.
And that's the Neos. That's one of my favorite 7-inches.
Mm.
Hasaba gets the Martian brain squeeze.
Okay.
They're a hardcore band from
Victoria.
So
this is all Canada.
Yeah, that's England.
Okay, oh, England here. Okay,
okay, so you know,
Canada here.
England subhumans, Canadian subhumans.
Right.
And Dave Gregg from DOA and Real McKenzie's, that's the guitar he burned on stage. And Wimpy Roy's bass.
Wow. Each one of these items just has such an interesting backstory, I'm sure.
Stretch Marks, one of my favorite bands, really. They played 4 shows in L.A., and when I was 16,
mm-hmm.
and we went to every one of their shows. Never heard them before, but we knew all their lyrics. We saw them 4 nights in a row. Just tiny clubs. They're so good.
Now, do you have... Because I'm from Australia. Do you have much Australian punk?
No. We're missing Australia. I mean, we will have the Saints, and we will have Friends of Rom.
Right.
In fact, NoFX is going to Australia next month.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get tons of shit. Mm-hmm. But we ask everybody, they just don't send it to us.
Okay.
But next year we'll have a lot of Australian stuff, for sure.
I got some Saint stuff I can...
We need Saint stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the Joe Strummer. It's like, this is the most amazing shit we just got. Handwritten lyrics to London Calling.
Mm.
I mean, what? and his telly. That's his telly that he always played. He played in the Clash for the whole time.
Yeah. And his phone book.
No, that's his notes.
His notes? Okay. That's his handwriting in there. What is it?
Yeah.
Like a lot of expenses.
Different set kind of lists and shit.
Oh, okay.
And that's his amp and his case. And seeing his family here was just the best.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Cadillac we're getting.
Where are you going to put the Cadillac?
Don't know yet. We'll find a place for Joe Strummer's Cadillac.
Here's Lemmy.
Yeah, it's Lemmy's bass. And Lemmy's ashes are in that bullet.
Ah. Yeah, I heard he made, there was like 100 bullets with his ashes in them.
Yeah.
One went to family and friends, and that's one of them.
That's his bass, and that's his amp.
How about the Jack Daniels? Is that one of his?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's his clothes, his hat, his boots. I mean, he's the only guy that really makes the cut as far as being metal.
Yeah.
Because he's loved by everyone. He's such a cool dude.
How do you kind of make that call? Like, for example, Metallica.
No way. They're not in here. No.
Yeah.
They're not in here.
So
Lemmy is where we caught off.
That's the line. That's the line.
I mean, there's Crossover Corner. Some bands that started as punk bands, you know, COC and DRI, and
mm-hmm.
they're upstairs. But it's Crossover Corner.
Right. Were there any passionate arguments or conversations about who comes in, who doesn't go in?
No, not so much. We had some arguments about Fang because Sammy was a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
But we let him in because he's a good guy now or whatever for murder. He did his time.
Right.
No Screwdriver. No outwardly racist bands.
Right.
And we took an Anti-Flag out.
Okay.
Because Justin is a fucking predator.
Mm.
We don't want anyone to get triggered.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
Okay.
And that's about all I got right now.
All right. Well, I do appreciate your time, Mike. Yeah. This has been a phenomenal.
Yeah, upstairs, you can walk to you, but
that's fine.
This is my knowledge.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I like the fact in the bar, the food is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and or Pringles.
We're working on it.
Oh, it's fine. It's a game.
There we are. And by the way, that was just the first floor that he and I walked through. There's a whole second floor available there that I'll leave it to you guys to go ahead and experience yourself. Again, can't speak highly enough about the Punk Rock Museum and the work that Mike and the team have done there. Thank you so much. And don't forget, there is a video of this interview available only to show patrons. Patreon.com/vinylguide. Head up there now. Help support the show. Get that video, enjoy that, as well as all the extras. And that's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hey, I need you to do me a favor. Leave The Vinyl Guide podcast a positive review. Head up to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it these days, Spotify. Give us 5 out of 5 stars. Say something nice. That is always appreciated. And I also appreciate all you folks who are sharing these episodes on social media. That is friggin' awesome. We'll be back shortly with a brand new episode. So until we talk next time, get out there and buy some records, people. Cheers.